are in the midst of celebrating the 12 days of Christmas. Christmastide, of course, began on Christmas Eve and stretches through the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th. And throughout this season, our scripture lessons focus on the first advent of Jesus, Jesus coming among us as the baby of Bethlehem. On Christmas Eve, we heard, as we do every year, that familiar Christmas story from the Gospel according to Luke. It seems to me that that is a story that has seeped into popular images of Christmas. It has the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, a chorus of angels, the heavenly host, who appear to those shepherds and proclaim the birth of the Savior. There's Mary and Joseph and the Holy Child in a stable with animals gathered around, much like our creche scene here. This account for most people evokes what is considered to be the Christmas story. And I suspect for many of us, it also evokes strong emotions, memories. Luke's account can, though, I think, be so familiar that maybe we don't see it with fresh eyes. Maybe we don't understand its full import. So I at least think it's a gift that this morning we get to read from the prologue of the Gospel according to John. These words offer another reflection on the birth of Jesus. And maybe this passage can provide us with a deeper understanding of the mystery of the Incarnation. Scholars tell us this prologue may have been an early Christian hymn. Certainly it is poetic, its language is lofty, it is beautiful. It articulates where the longed-for Messiah comes from, as well as the Messiah's history and origin. In effect, this is John's Christmas story, though it can't be more different from Luke's. It's short on those sentimental images that tug at our heartstrings. It doesn't have so many strong images that might capture our imagination. And it certainly is full of theology informed by Greek philosophy. But I do think the soaring language of this prologue can lift our hearts and our minds to things eternal, and can offer a deeper understanding of God's purposes in coming among us as the baby of Bethlehem. And so in the prologue, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God from before time. Everything that exists, every part of creation, comes into being through the Word. We hear echoes in this of the first creation account from the book of Genesis, when God speaks into being creation. And when all is made, God pronounces everything good. And so in the prologue, John is offering a kind of new creation account. In fact, it might be more accurate to say of a creation recreated, a creation brought into being, loved by God and restored by God. In the Incarnation, God comes to dwell with humanity in the person of Jesus, hallowing the creation by entering into human flesh, human existence. And God does this to bring humanity and all of creation to new life. In the Incarnation, God transforms creation into a new creation, one that is redeemed. It is set right in accord with God's loving purposes. And so God stoops to put on human flesh so that humanity may be lifted to the divine life. God puts on humanity that we, humanity, can put on divinity. God comes to us in the baby of Bethlehem so that we can be lifted above this world of evil and sin, brought to the very loving heart of God. And God even comes to lift us above death itself, to set us free to live the divine life of the Trinity for eternity. John tells us that God enters as the light. And this light is life, a light that the darkness will never overcome. This is the light that is stronger than the forces of evil, of the wickedness of this world, stronger than the powers of death. It's striking for us who live in the Northern Hemisphere. The celebration of Christmas comes at that darkest, coldest time of the year. Light is scarce. Days are short. But the reality is we celebrate Christmas just after the winter solstice. As the days, imperceptibly, but as the days begin to lengthen. Each day there is a little more daylight than the day before. And as the light begins to grow, we celebrate the coming of the light of God into the darkness of our world. Each Christmastide, we hang that beautiful lighted star of Bethlehem in our yard. It is a wonderful season, a wonderful symbol of this season. For the 12 days of Christmas, it reminds everyone who see it of the hope and the promise of the light of God come into the world. This star reminds us of the beacon that is God's light, of the light that enters into the fullness of human existence, enters into our joys as well as our challenges, enters to provide meaning to our lives, to offer the comfort and presence of God in our lives. Our lighted star is a reminder to the neighborhood around us that the light has come in this holy season. John tells us that the light shines even in the darkness of our world, that the light signals that God ushers in a new age in which the old order is done away with. In this new age, the status quo ends. Suffering and alienation are healed. The power of money and military might fade. Injustice is overturned. The poor, the hungry, the oppressed find hope in the promise of God's reign. And the rich are freed from enslavement to wealth and material goods. This light come into the world is the Word incarnate, and we are invited, we are called to walk by this light. This light illumines our path. This light shines to all places of violence and hatred and division, and offers love, compassion, the healing of God. And we are invited by the child of Bethlehem to walk always in this light. In fact, to reflect this light through our own words and our deeds. And this world full of suffering and death, plagued by hatred and brokenness and estrangement, sorely needs the light of Christ. William Law was a priest in the Church of England, and he lived from 1686 to 1761, and he wrote a book called The Spirit of Prayer. In that book, he focuses on the profound love of God as a way of inviting readers to live holy lives. In speaking of the birth of Jesus, he observes that Jesus is born to raise us from the darkness of sin and death into the light of life. William Law says, and I quote, "For this holy Jesus that is to be formed in you, that is to be the Savior and new life of your soul, that is, to raise you out of the darkness of death into the light of life, and give you power to become a child of God, is already within you living, stirring, calling, knocking at the door of your heart, and wanting nothing but your own faith and goodwill to have as real a birth and form in you as he had in the Virgin Mary." Unquote. Law is saying that Jesus desires to be born in us, in you and in me, in our hearts, in our lives, just as surely as he was born of Mary in that stable. That Jesus wants to bring to us eternal light, the light that leads us from the darkness of death into the divine love of God. And law assures us, whether we sense it or not, that God is already within us, that God already works within us. We simply need to open ourselves to God, to allow Jesus to be born in us, so that we live by the divine light, the divine love, that divine life that is already within us as beloved children of God, as people created in God's image. Law goes on to say, and I quote, "Poor sinner, consider the treasure you have within yourself. The Savior of the world, the eternal Word of God, lies hidden in you as a spark of the divine nature which is to overcome sin and death and hell within you and generate the light of heaven again in your soul. Turn to your heart, and your heart will find its Savior, its God within itself. Seek for God in your heart, and you will never seek in vain." Unquote. When the eternal Word becomes incarnate in the baby of Bethlehem, humanity is forever changed. The world is forever changed. If we are so beloved that God comes among us in human flesh, is born in our hearts, how can we help but love God, love ourselves, love our neighbor, love creation? Because God pours the light of God's incarnate Word into our lives, can we resist walking by the light? Can we not be changed by God's divine visitation? This is echoed in our first lesson today, where the prophet Isaiah offers an image of a new life in God through the incarnation. Isaiah tells us God clothes the people with the garments of salvation, covering them with the robe of righteousness. God's people become a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of our God. Beautiful language. Through the incarnation, the whole creation is made new. The earth brings forth shoots. The garden springs up. When God comes among us, everything is made new. There is a new creation, a creation that is renewed and restored. New life bursts forth and flourishes. God, in the person of Jesus, crowns us with eternity, leads us into this new life, the divine life of God. And in this divine life, all of creation, you and me, are pronounced good. And all people are called the beloved of God. And so this Christmastide, let us claim our high calling, always walking by the light of God, reflecting the light of God's love to all people, living as the beloved children of God we are created to be. May we always reflect the light of God by loving others as God loves us. Amen. Amen.